This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guests are one of the greatest songwriting teams of the second half of the 20th century, Burt Bacharach and Hal David. Evidence of their greatness includes the songs Make It Easy on Yourself, I Just Don't Know What to Do with Myself, Only Love Can Break a Heart, Don't Make Me Over, Anyone Who Had a Heart, Wishin' and Hopin'. There's always something there to remind me. What the world needs now is love and the look of love. Dionne Warwick had 38 singles written by Bacharach and David that made the charts. This one's from 1964.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry each time we meet, walk on by. Just let me grieve in private, 'cause each time I see you, I break down and cry. Walk on by.
Don't stop.
Walk on by.
Don't stop.
Walk on by. I just can't get over you.
I've interviewed Burt Bacharach and Hal David separately, but I never thought I'd have the chance to talk to them together. But the revival of their 1968 Broadway show Promises, Promises has given me that opportunity. It's the only Broadway musical they've done. Two songs from it became hits, the title song and I Say a Little Prayer. Neil Simon wrote the book for the show, adapting it from the Billy Wilder movie The Apartment. The revival stars Sean Hayes and Kristen Chenoweth. Burt Bacharach, Hal David, welcome to Fresh Air. You know, it's such an honor to talk with you together. I was always hoping for a chance this would happen, and I'm grateful that that it has. Let's talk about some of the songs you wrote for the show. Let's start with the title song, Promises, Promises, which Jerry Orbach sang in the original production. So let's start by hearing his performance of Promises, Promises. So here we go.
Promises, I'm all through with promises, promises now. I don't know how I got the nerve to walk out. If I shout, remember, I feel free. Now I can look at myself and be proud. I'm laughing out loud. Oh, promises, promises, this is where those promises, promises end. I won't pretend that what was wrong can be right. Every night I'll sleep now, no more lies. Things that I promised myself fell apart, but I found my heart. Oh, promises, they're kind of promises, take all the joy from promises can just destroy your life. Oh, promises, promises, my kind of promises can lead to joy and hope and love. Yes, love.
That's Jerry Orbach in the original cast recording of Promises, Promises. Burt Bacharach, Hal David, let's talk about how you wrote the song. Let's start with the title. Hal David, did the title Promises, Promises start with the song or with the show?
I think it started with David Merrick, who wanted a title song for the show.
And was the show already called Promises, Promises?
Yeah, and I think Neil wanted to call it Promises, Promises.
Yeah.
And not The Apartment. That was the source from the original film, the Billy Wilder film. And it was just kind of nice to hear Jerry Orbach singing there.
Yeah.
Because I guess I hadn't heard that cast album in
40 years.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, Hal. I don't sit around listening to.
No, I don't either.
Our old cast album. But Jerry Orbach, he was wonderful in the show. I mean, as Sean Hayes is just magnificent in the show. But I remember with Jerry Orbach coming into New York, when I came into New York, and would come to see the show maybe after I'd been playing 3 months, and I'd go backstage and see the cast. And Jerry Orbach would say to me, "Man, if I had to sing this song again, one more." Yeah, because it's granted, it is a very notey. In other words, it's not an easy song to sing. My motivation was the urgency that makes it work dramatically, or you think it's going to work dramatically, by the anger that comes through. And it needed that many notes and that many words. But Jerry, after 3 months, was saying, "Why do you have to make it so difficult?" Night after night, he's up there doing Promises, bro.
So, Burt Bacharach, you said it's so notey because it has to show anger. Well, the instruments, the orchestra is kind of like churning behind behind the singer. Yeah. And it's just like there's such a kind of hyperactive energy going on there. And the time signature keeps changing. It changes like 20 right. times during the song. So it's just kind of like frenetic sounding and disorienting in a way. It's wonderful. Did you consciously say when you sat down to write the song, it needs 20 different key changes, signature changes?
No, I never do. I've never done anything like intentionally. It's only when I have gotten it where I'm hearing it, where it's in my head, where I can play it, where I can get away from it, lie on the couch, go over my head, and I start to write it down. And when I write it out, I realize, hey, that's change. You've got to change time signature in this bar, time signature in this bar. So it's not deliberate. I mean, that's the main thing. It can drive musicians crazy, you know, until they stop counting and just hear and feel the music. And I think it's kind of selfish on my part. I just write it, say, we got to get it done. You know, it'll get done. So as far as your observation about the churning and the orchestra, yeah. So much of what I've written, whether it's from the show or whenever, it's always been, it's almost like they come out of the same bed, you know? It's not just piano and voice. It's like where the drums will be playing, where the strings come in, where they are. Yeah. They are made and created about the same time as the song is being written.
So you hear that all in your head as you're writing the song. You hear the percussion, you hear the trumpet.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Well, that leads me to the final version I want to play of Promises, Promises, and that's the one that was the really big hit, Dionne Warwick's version. Did you know at the start that you would ask her to do this song? She had already had hits with some of your songs.
Well, she was like our star vehicle, you know. I mean, we had been recording Dionne and producing her, kind of trying to tailor-make songs that would fit her, and she was an extraordinary vocalist and a great vehicle for what we would write. And the more that we would write for Dionne, the more we would see where we could go with her, the challenges that we could do.
Dionne is a great musician.
Yeah.
Has a great feel for the songs we wrote.
And also how, you know, by having that kind of mobility, I mean, you take a song like Promises, Promises, in somebody else's hands, it could sound maybe labored or under duress being sung. Dionne just kind of floated through it, like effortlessly. And that was one of the things that she had.
She's incredible. Let's hear her recording of Promises, Promises.
Can be right every
But our promises can just destroy our lives.
One of the things I like about that recording, it's so vivid. And I just love all the orchestral things going on in the background. And, like, is it kettle drum or timpani that you're using?
Yeah, timpani? Orchestra bells, yeah.
I just love hearing all of that. So that's all on your mind as you're writing the song. And I think it's actually more vivid on the Dionne Warwick recording than in the Broadway cast recording.
Well, it's also slower. That surprised me
when
you started to play it. I said, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I must have taken a slow pill or something before we record that. But I think also I was thinking probably how we were thinking, like commercially, would be the easier one to grasp would be maybe at a little more slow, measured tempo.
Well, whatever it was, it is slower, no question about it. But she is smooth, and yet she's got all the music and all the lines in the songs. She's really telling it to us.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the other really big hit from the show, I'll Never Fall in Love Again. There's a great story behind the song. So whichever one of you wants to start telling it, go ahead.
Well, when Bert was hospitalized with pneumonia.
It was like maybe 3 days after we opened in Boston, too. And we had good reviews in Boston.
Yeah.
We thought we had a hit.
We thought we had a hit, but there was one spot in the show. We had a song called Wouldn't That Be a Stroke of Luck or something similar to that.
Yeah.
And
that's a good title, Hal.
Yeah. But we threw it out. That song didn't work. Everybody liked the song, but the audience didn't like the song. And while Bert was in the hospital, I started writing lyrics for that song. You know, the famous lines, what do you get when you kiss a girl? You get enough germs to catch pneumonia after you do. She'll never phone you. I don't recall thinking that Bert was in the hospital and had pneumonia, but obviously there was some subconscious thing about it because that's what I wrote.
So
we wrote it really quickly.
I mean, I think you wrote it. I gave you a lot of the lyric. I think we wrote it in one day.
The day I got out of the hospital.
The day you got out of the hospital. We played it for Neil and David Merrick, they wanted it in the show the next day. It stopped the show. Like a Hollywood movie, it just stopped the show.
As it did the other night when the opening of the revival. Yeah.
So, Burt Bacharach, you must have been feeling pretty lousy when you wrote this song, if you'd just gotten out of the hospital from pneumonia.
Yeah, I felt there's no way to recover from pneumonia is to then write the song and then start standing in the back of the house, meaning in the back of the theater in Boston for the rest of the run, and then going on to Washington and doing the same and being in a sweat and thinking you had the pneumonia back and getting frustrated with the conductor that we had, the tempos, and, you know, I'm kind of a control freak, so what was my choice? Go and take the place of the conductor and spend the next 3 years of my life in the pit, in the Broadway pit, conducting. But it's not the way to get over pneumonia.
I bet it's not. But I can understand your frustration. I mean, your songs are so tricky and require, I think, a real sense of precision to really get all the twists and turns in the rhythm and in the orchestrations. And you must
and
have really and the tempos, and you must have really wanted to be there conducting.
Well, yes, but that is not the answer because then you put the rest of your life and your career on a hold.
Right,
you know?
Right. Okay, so we have to hear the song now. So this is I'll Never Fall in Love Again, a.k.a. the pneumonia song. And why don't we hear Dionne Warwick singing it? That's I'll Never Fall in Love Again, one of the hit songs from the Broadway show Promises, Promises, which is now being revived on Broadway. My guests are the song's composers, the famous songwriting team of Burt Bacharach and Hal David. So, you know, we were talking before about time signature changes, and there aren't a lot of them in I'll Never Fall in Love Again, but their song, I think, is really significant. It switches from 4/4 time to 2/4 time on the all of
Very
I'll Never
good.
Fall in Love Again. Just like one note, I'll Never Fall in Love Again.
Yeah. Very good observation.
So what does it do to change just for that one note from to the I'll
Never Fall in Love Again? It makes it fresher for me, and it's a nice little turn. And it always surprised me with one of the first records we got on it, Ella Fitzgerald. Ella,
great record.
Except...
She didn't do it then.
She didn't
square
it out. I'll never fall in love again.
And that
but
bothers
that,
you.
that record was on its way to being a hit, and then Dion's came out, and of course,
yeah,
Dion just swamped her.
It's true, but I like it with a 6/4 bar mm-hmm. or 4/4, 2/4, as you say.
Yeah. Well, what I like about that is I think it frames the all. Like everything kind of stops for a second when it's sung. That way. But a lot of singers don't do it. A lot of singers just go like, I'll never fall in love again. You know, they don't emphasize. They don't give it the full two beats on the aisle. And it always frustrates me.
Well, they go to the most normal way, but an abnormal way can, in its own right, be the right way. And, you know, can be natural. Just like the easier way out would have been to just not change bar lines, not going 4/4, 2/4. But hey, we didn't do it that way. It didn't hurt us.
Did so
fine.
What did it mean to you in 1968 to have a Broadway show, to be on Broadway? Was that important to you?
Well, it was important to me. And I think it was the most fun time I had on any project I've done. I don't know if Bert will feel the same way, but...
If I hadn't gotten sick, I would have had a good time. You know, by the time we did the cast album, I was just looking to get to Palm Springs and not touch a piano for a while. So we should have written another one, but should have and would have and could have. We don't count that out.
Were you asked?
You did enough.
I don't know that we were asked. I just know that I had some frustration, too, that came from the actual parameters of writing something for the theater, and that was there are substitutes in the orchestra. Maybe there are 2-3 subs in a given performance. My music is not so easy to play. And I remember getting a call from David Merrick.
The producer of the show. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, a week and a half into the show. And he called me up and said, I want you to know that there were 5 subs in the band today. It was a Saturday matinee. Five members of the band had subs. The drummer, first trumpet player. These are key people reading the music for the first time. And Richard Rodgers was in the house.
Oh.
And I say, geez, you know what I mean? You just want to kind of go and stick your head in the sand in the desert. Because you want him to hear it at the best.
You must have really preferred the recording studio in that respect, where you could really control every
aspect.
Then
he had permanence.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But there's something electric about a live performance. You know?
Tell us how you met.
Oh, we were both at Famous Music.
Oh, in the Brill Building. I mean, just like working the floors.
Yeah. And everybody was writing with everybody.
Yeah.
And one day we said, let's try to write a couple of songs together. One of us said that to me.
Well, we wrote some bad songs to start.
Yeah.
We wrote
really?
Some really bad.
Like what?
Peggy's in the Pantry.
Peggy's in the Pantry?
Yeah.
Does somebody want to sing that?
But
Underneath the Overpass, you remember that? Huh?
Yeah, that was Joe Stafford.
Yeah. At least we got a record on it, you know what I mean?
But we also did Magic Moments, which...
It took us a while to get a hit. I mean, it really did. Magic Moments, the story of my life. But,
I think of that as happening very early on.
So how did you get a sense that you should collaborate with each other? I mean, what did you know about each other's work? What attracted you to each other musically?
Well, Hal had been doing it longer than me and kind of successfully had hits. And, you know, it was an interesting time in the Brill Building, the famous Brill Building. There were seven floors of music publishers. Okay. Yeah, well, you could go and play a song for one publisher and then he'd say, I don't like it. And then you go down the hall and play it for another. And that in itself was a very interesting time.
You wrote so many hits together. At what point did you break up, and why did you stop writing together?
Well, it's a long story.
Yeah.
I think we got involved with a motion picture that probably never should have been made. Making a motion picture, a movie musical, with new songs, it's not like you can go to Boston and try it out. The film is shot. And the idea that you can replace a song and reshoot the scene and the sequence. The picture was called Lost Horizon, and it presented its own set of problems. And I must say that I wrote the score, the background score, as well as writing the songs with Hal. Songs sounded good. I mean, they still sound good to me.
The score, I think, is a very good piece of work. But the movie just didn't work.
I mean, there's a song in the middle of the movie called If I Could Go Back, that Peter Finch's character sings. And it's about his longing, whether he stays in Shangri-La or goes back to England. He has a chance to do either one. Stay in Shangri-La and you live forever. And when we made the record, made that particular song for the soundtrack, it sounded great. I mean, I thought, Jesus, it's beautiful. And then when you see it in the movie, you're sitting there. You don't care whether he goes back or stays. It doesn't make any difference. You don't care about him. So
the film was bad. The songs were good. How did that break up your relationship?
I didn't want to write anymore, period.
Really? It was. You were that discouraged from that movie?
Oh, listen, I drove up to the opening night. A theater, having just read the LA Times review, and I just want to get out of town. I want to go down to Del Mar and at a little beach house there and hide, you know, and not write and just play tennis every day. And even though my attorney told me, hey, you know, you're going to get in trouble with your commitment with Hal to write for Dion. She's going on Warner Brothers now, new label. New album is expected to come out. And I just ignored his advice very bad. So, you know, as far as responsibility and blame, it's all on me, you know.
Well, whatever it was, we've been friends ever since.
Yeah, it was just, you know, I'm very happy to own that up, Hal. You know, we should have just, again, should have, could have sat down and just said, let's write some new stuff for Dion's album. But, hey, man, I don't want to write with anybody. You or anybody.
Hal David, did you want to give up songwriting after the movie got such bad reviews and realized
how bad
it was?
I could understand why someone would, but no, I didn't. I kept writing.
So I thought we could close with another song. And this is a song that you wrote that you didn't write for Promises, Promises, but it's been interpolated into the new production. And the song is I Say a Little Prayer. And I thought we'd use Aretha Franklin's 1968 recording of it.
Great record.
Yeah. Were you amazed to hear her record this?
It's a better record than the record we made.
We did, yeah. I mean, we did a great record, but she topped it.
Oh, yeah.
Why is this one better?
Well, you'll hear it.
It's more natural. It's just more natural. We're talking about Bart changes, time change, on the chorus, forever, forever, stay in my heart. And I, you know, that's going 4-4-3-4-4-4-3-4. Then regard the way it was treated by Aretha, because Aretha just makes it seamless, the transition going from one change to another change. You never notice it.
Okay. It's been really an honor to speak with you both. Thank you so much for doing this.
Hey, good talking to you.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
moment I wake up, before I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you. And while combing my hair now, and wondering what dress to wear now, I say a little prayer for you.
I spoke with Burt Bacharach and Hal David last week. A revival of their musical Promises, Promises is now on Broadway, starring Sean Hayes and Kristen Chenoweth.
For me, baby.